The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on WMAL.
Hey, you're aging in place. You've made the decision, or perhaps you're not really sure about making a move out of your current home, but you need some additional help. And maybe you need some specific help for your spouse. Maybe you just recognize some of the things that you were able to do before, you're not quite as capable, and you need some help, some caregiving from a paid caregiver. So, as often, I will give you the questions to ask to think around the corner of what it is you need to know. My business is real estate, right, folks? I help people buy and sell homes. This is not about that. This is about you staying in your home, about you staying where you are and not making a move. And maybe even once you've hired a caregiver, you'll recognize what you really want is something different. No problem. I'm here to help you, give you the information that you need to live your best life going forward. So, what are those questions? And by the way, tomorrow you'll be able to get this information from us at ericstewartgroup.com if you'd like. So the questions would be, you're facing this decision. Number one, if the hired caregiver becomes ill or otherwise unavailable, what alternative arrangements can be made, right? That's a question you're going to want to ask the caregiver that you're interviewing, because if you have one person who's consistently going to come like every, you know, Tuesday and Friday, they're going to spend 4 hours a day working with you to do whatever it is that you want them to do. What happens if they get sick? They don't show up. What are the options that you have? Number two, are Social Security, federal and state taxes, and unemployment insurance paid so the family is not legally responsible? One thing you don't want to do is hire somebody and then have some tax implication on you coming down the road later, right? Number three, is there verification that the paid caregivers can legally work in the U.S.? If the hired caregiver is injured, who is responsible? Remember, many homeowners insurance policies exclude such injuries via domestic employee exclusions. And then number five, are criminal history background checks, state abuse registry checks, and prior work reference checks completed so you know that the person who's coming into your home is worthwhile? Number six, is there bonding and insurance in place that would cover any injury to the client, damage, or theft? When an agency says they are bonded, family members should be sure that this covers injury or damages related to the caregiver working in the home. And number seven, assuming the family is not available to supervise the paid caregivers at all times, will there be documentation that substantiates the completion of services? So you've hired somebody, they've spent 4 hours there. How can you be sure that they did what you wanted them to do? Now, if you'd like a free copy of that, again, you can get in touch with us at ericstewartgroup.com. Some of you all are single. I take this article I'm about to read. This is coming from retirementliving.com. Bonnie Moore knows the secret to preventing loneliness as she ages, and it has less to do with who shares her bedroom than the other rooms of her house. When a divorce left Moore, now 70, living alone in a newly remodeled home in Bowie, Maryland in 2008, she searched for and found four roommates to fill the empty bedrooms. The experience was so positive for Moore that she wrote a book called How to Start a Golden Girls Home. In June 2014, she launched Golden Girls Network, a website dedicated to helping mature adults find roommates and ease their way into shared living. Living with others at this stage in my life has been so much more fun and rewarding than I ever imagined, said Moore, founder of Golden Girls Network. In addition to contributing rent that makes my mortgage affordable, my roommates have become an important part of my life. We throw parties together, get to know one another's friends, and help each other out. Nationally, shared living is on the rise among baby boomers. Thanks to a swelling demographic of single seniors and the economic recession that ate into people's savings. In 2000, there were 820,000 households where single people ages 46 to 64 shared housing with non-relatives, according to Bowling Green State University's Center for Family and Demographic Research. By 2013, that number had risen to 1,090,000 homes. According to Moore, there are several ways that shared living can work. Some people are looking to become part of a group that shares and manages equally, either through shared ownership or equally sharing a lease. Others are looking for a landlord-tenant arrangement where one person owns the home and others are roommates. A third option is a home companion, where one person provides some household assistance and companionship for an older adult. Moore designed GoldenGirlsNetwork.com to be easy for those seeking a variety of roommate arrangements, and Moore teaches a monthly online class in which she reviews each of the different shared living arrangements and offers recommendations and best practices like sample roommate agreements for making it work. Many mature adults simply don't know where to start looking for a roommate, Moore said. Our goal is to help people connect. Finding the right shared living situation can be life-changing. More information is available, again, at GoldenGirlsNetwork.com. Speaking of remaining in your home, if you want to receive assistance while enjoying the comforts of your home, home care can include a wide variety of health care and supportive services, from professional nursing and home health aid services to physical, occupational, respiratory, and speech therapies. An advancing industry, home health care is essentially skilled nursing care and certain other forms of health care that you can get in your home for the treatment of an illness or an injury. It's an important option to consider regardless of one's age or health conditions. So here are the options in home care. This is an incredibly diverse field, okay? Home care includes companion care, home health care, skilled nursing care, and hospice care. So what is companion care? It's provided by caregivers or companions who serve as surrogate family members, performing many of the tasks that family members would typically complete. Assistance from companion caregivers can include meal preparation, medication reminders, laundry, light housekeeping, shopping, transportation, and assistance with exercising. The overall goals of companion care providers are to ensure that the home environment remains safe and the individual has a companion to spend time with when the family is not available. And then there's home health care, which is for those who are no longer able to perform all the functions of daily living by themselves, but who do not require skilled medical services. See, a home health aide is someone who could help with the activities of daily living. We call those the ADLs, all right, and which includes bathing, dressing, transferring, eating, toileting, etc. Additional services generally include meal preparations, mobility exercises, housekeeping, laundry, medication reminders, and transportation. And then there's skilled nursing care, which is prescribed by a physician and is administered by a registered nurse. The services provided by skilled nurses include administering injections, administering medications, wound care, IV monitoring and blood tests, catheter care, respiratory therapy, physical therapy, feeding tube administration, and so much more. Now, you want to find a provider after you determine the type and the amount of services that you might need. It's a very important decision since finding a qualified, reliable, and compassionate individual is essential to the health and happiness of patients and their families. In fact, every time you hire someone to come in your home, whether it's a babysitter for your kids or whether it's a home health care provider, you want to choose somebody that you feel comfortable, confident in, and can trust, right? I'm going to take a quick break. When I get back, we'll have Stuart Rosenthal join us. But before I do, let me point out to you, there's really a few symptoms for a heart attack that we should all pay attention to. Men and women frequently report different symptoms. Now, men tend to have the classic signs such as pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that goes away and then comes back, pain that spreads up to the shoulders, the neck, or the arms, chest discomfort with lightheadedness. For women, symptoms tend to be back or jaw pain, difficulty breathing, and nausea or dizziness. The triggers, this unexplainable anxiety or fatigue, mild flu-like symptoms, you got to be careful of these things. And it's important that you pay attention. There is a Center for Disease Control here in America, and there's lots of information you can find online through them. Right back with Stuart right after this.